I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I've been thinking about the body of Christ and notions of the body of Christ that emerge in our theology, in our liturgy, in our prayers. And this is Easter season, Eastertide, when we have this focus on the resurrection, which says that God, the incarnate one, Jesus, when he died, resurrected from the dead, and then we have the ascension here where he ascended to the right hand of the Father. So that portion of our theology says that the body of Christ, his actual body birthed of Mary, is in heaven at the right hand of God. The right hand means the place of honor. So there's that theology around the body of Christ. But also we come to communion. And it is there that we, by our prayers, I pray, you know, we pray that this become for us the body and blood of Christ. Just like at the Last Supper where Christ handed that bread to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And so we come to receive this sacrament understood as body of Christ. Now, our theology and the letters of Paul and all the teachings of the church talk about the church, you and me, us, the people of God, as the body of Christ. So here, we are worshiping Christ who is bodily risen. We are receiving this sacrament of Christ's body to become Christ's body in the world in the here and now. And then there's even one more step further. Christ says, "As you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." He didn't say, "As you did it to the least of these, it's kind of like, sort of like you're doing it to me." No. He said, "As you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." There is this radical identification that Christ makes between himself and the neediest. He says, you know, there's that teaching, "I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was hungry and you did not feed me." Christ says, "I was thirsty. You didn't bring me drink. I was in prison. You didn't visit me." And the question is asked, well, when did any of this happen? And we didn't do this to you, O Lord. And that's where he says, "As you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me." He didn't say not kind of like to me, but not to me. So then the body of Christ expands beyond the body of Christ in heaven and the body of Christ in the sacrament and the body of Christ us. It is every person that we encounter. We encounter them as Christ, the needy, the hungry, the vulnerable. So this body of Christ, as I started thinking about this and praying on this, became ever expanding. And then I started thinking about today's gospel lesson where Christ says, "I have other sheep, not of this flock, and I need to bring them too," which he doesn't actually define who those other sheep were. It's kind of this mystery that he leaves them with. Who are these other sheep, O Lord? So then when we go out into our daily life and we encounter people, are these the other sheep that Christ meant? Did he mean the non-Israelites? Did he mean people in other countries? There was a period of the LGBT movement where we were claiming that language of other sheep. There was a non-profit by that name saying, you know, here are other sheep. But then I started to think, and I was triggered by a conversation with Jeffrey in Bible study, maybe these other sheep aren't necessarily human. Who's to say they are? Christ talks, says that there are other sheep that we may be one. And throughout the scriptures, there is teaching that we might have that restored harmony that there was in the Garden of Eden, when people and animals were in harmony with each other. And there's all this teaching about the kingdom of heaven where the lion lays down with the lamb and the adder with the child, and this oneness with us and the rest of God's creation. Who's to say that's what Jesus wasn't hinting at with these other sheep? And then I'm drawn to the teachings of St. Paul where he says that creation waits with eager longing for the revelation of the children of God. That creation itself is eagerly longing for us, the children of God, the body of Christ, to rise up, to seek that oneness, that harmony with all of God's creation. So then this meditation that I was doing on this idea of body of Christ and of Christ just kind of takes cosmic proportions. If every single person I encounter suddenly becomes an encounter with Christ, and every life form that is filled with the breath of God's Spirit becomes an encounter with body of Christ, how does that change how I approach those encounters? And in today's teaching, where Jesus, you know, says, "I am the good shepherd," and starts talking about himself as a good shepherd, it's interesting, when you look at the Greek for the word good shepherd, that word good isn't the opposite of bad. It's not good shepherd versus the bad shepherd. It's in Greek, it's kalos. I am the model shepherd. He is good, of course, but he's saying, I'm the model shepherd. I'm modeling for you all how to go forth and be a shepherd like this to my flock that is going to be entrusted to you. And what he models in that lesson that we heard is a shepherd who's willing to go to the very end to protect those sheep, who's willing to even lay down his life to protect those sheep. And then it follows, if you and I are the body of Christ, we're called to be that good shepherd. We're called to be that model shepherd in the world, caring for and willing to sacrifice for the sheep, whether those sheep are one another, our brethren in Christ, or whether those sheep are the vulnerable and most needy that Christ radically identifies with, or whether those sheep are the creatures and the land and all those life forms imbued with Christ's Spirit. And so this cosmic sense of Christ begins to emerge when we meditate really on this body of Christ notion. And that takes me to our epistle lesson that we heard. It says, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Wow. I think Paul couldn't have said it better, that our love, our love can't just be in words that we say, "Oh, I love you, God bless you, I'll pray for you." It's this action that transforms how we live. And so I ask that question again. If every single person we encounter is an encounter with Christ, and every creature that we encounter is an encounter with Christ, and every vulnerable person an encounter with an earth itself is an encounter with Christ, how does that change how you approach those encounters? If every single life that you encounter is somehow tied in to the body of Christ, how does that change how we treat each other at the grocery checkout, when we're in that car behind another car, or in all of our daily encounters with one another? What will we change? What will we change about those encounters? And I say, do it. Now. Start the change. Be the change. Let's live into this reality of this understanding of the cosmic Christ that we encounter in every single moment of every single day. And my prayer for us then is that this Eastertide might be imbued with a deep understanding that we are in every moment, in every place, encountering our Christ.